Isabel, somewhere between the Bahamas and Florida, 1994, 5 days from home, pages 223 through 228. The night sky was so clear Isabel could see the Milky Way. Her gaze was on the stars, but she wasn't really looking at them. She wasn't really looking at anything. Her eyes were blurry from tears. Next to her, Senora Castillo sobbed in her husband's arm, her shoulders heaving. Like Isabel, she had been crying ever since Evan died. Senor Castillo stared out over his wife's head, his eyes vacant. Lewis kicked out at the silent engine, rattling bolts that held it down. He buried his face in his hands, and Amara hugged him tight. Evan was dead. Isabel couldn't grasp it. One minute he had been alive, talking to them, laughing with them, and the next, he was dead, lifeless, like every other Cuban who had ever died trying to get to El Norte by the sea. But Evan wasn't some nameless, faceless person. He was Evan, her Evan. He was her best friend, and he was dead. Isabel's eyes drifted down to where Evan's body lay, but she still couldn't look right at him. Couldn't. Even though Poppy had taken down the shirt he draped over Mommy to shade her and laid it across Evan's face, Isabel couldn't bear to look. She knew Evan's face, his smile. She wanted to think of him that way. Lito sang low, sad song, and Isabel retreated into the arms of her mother and father. The three of them huddled together as if what happened to Evan might happen to them, too, if they came too close to his body. But the real threat was the sinking boat and the sharks that still circled it, following the trail of bloody water that started at Isabel's feet. Fidel Castro had Evan's body, blood all over him. Isabel remembered the wake for her grandmother. It had been a quiet, somber occasion. There hadn't even been a body to bury. Those who had come and spent most of their time comforting Lito and Mommy and Isabel, hugging them and kissing them and sharing the grief, Isabel knew she could do that now for the Castillos, but she couldn't bring herself to do it. How could she comfort the Castillos when she still needed comforting herself? Evan was their son, their brother, but he was Isabel's best friend. In some ways, she knew him better than even his family did. She'd play soccer with him in the alleys, swum with him in the sea, sat next to him in school. She had eaten dinner at his house and he at hers. So many times, they might as well have been brother and sister. Isabel and Evan grew up together. She couldn't imagine a world where she would run next door and he wouldn't be there, but Evan wouldn't be coming over anymore. Evan was dead. The loss of him aches like a part of Isabel suddenly missing. Her heart had been ripped out of her chest, and all that was left was a giant gaping hole. She shook again as her body was racked with sobs, and Mommy pulled her closer. After a time, Isabel's grandfather finally spoke. "We need to do something," he said, "with the body." Senora Castillo waited, but Senor Castillo nodded. "Do something with the body?" Isabel looked around. But what was there to be done with Evan's body on this little raft? And then Isabel understood. There was only one place for Evan's body to go, into the sea. The thought made her recoil in terror. "No, no, we can't leave him here," Isabel cried. "He'll be all alone. Evan never liked to be alone." Lito nodded to Isabel's father, and the two of them stood to lift Evan out of the small boat. Isabel fought to get free of her mother, but Mommy held her tight. "Wait," Senora Castillo said. She pulled herself away from her husband, her face streaked with tears. "We have to say something, a prayer, something. I want God to know Evan is coming." Isabel had never been to church. When Castro and the communists had taken over, they discouraged the practice of religion, but Spanish Catholics had conquered the island long before Castro had. Isabel knew their religion was still there, deep down, the way Lito told her Her clav was buried beneath the audible rhythms of a song. Leto was the oldest and had been to the most funerals, so he took charge. He made a sign of the cross over Even's body and said, "Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. Amen." Senora Castillo nodded, and Leto and Isabel's father picked up Even's body. "No, no," Isabel cried. She reached out as if to stop them, then pulled her hands back and clasped them onto her chest. She knew they had to do this, that they could not keep Ivan on the boat with them. Not like this, but as she watched Leto and Poppy lift up Even's body, the empty place got bigger and bigger, until she was more empty than full. She wished she was dead, too. She wished she was dead so they could put her into the water with Even, so she could keep him company in the deep. Senora Castillo reached out and took her son's hand one last time, and Lewis stood and put a hand to Even's chest, one last connection to his brother, before he was gone for good. Isabel wanted to do something, to say something, but she was too overcome with grief. "Wait," Lewis said. He pulled a pistol from his holster. His face turned mean as he aimed it over the other side of the boat, at one of the fins that skimmed the surface. Isabel was ready for the shots this time, but they still made her jump. Bang, bang, bang. The shark died in a bloody thrashing spasm, and the other sharks that had been following the boat fell onto it in a frenzy. Lewis nodded, and Leto and Isabel's father and Senora Castillo looked away as they slipped Even off the other side of the boat, away from the sharks where he sank into the Black Sea. No one spoke. Isabel cried, the tears coming without end, flowing up from the hollow place in her chest that threatened to consume her. Even was gone, forever. Isabel suddenly remembered Even's industrial cap. Where was it? What happened to it? It hadn't been on him when he'd been put back in the water. And Isabel wanted to find it, needed to find it. That was something she could do, a piece of him she could keep close to her. She pulled away from her mother and searched the little boat for it. It had to be somewhere. Yes, there. Floating upside down in the bloody water underneath one of the benches, she plucked it up and held it to her chest, the only part of Even she had left. "I wanted to open a restaurant," Senora Castillo said. He was right next to her, and the sound of his voice, almost a whisper, made Isabel jump. "When we were talking that first night, everyone was telling us each other what they wanted to do when we got to the U.S., Senora Castillo went on, "but I never said. I wanted to open a restaurant with my sons." Something sparkled on the dark horizon, and at first Isabel took it to be one of the stars on the white scar of the Milky Way twinkling in her watery eyes. But no, it was too bright, too orange. And there were others just like it, all clustered in a horizontal line, separating the black waters from the black sky. It was Miami, at last. I even had just missed seeing Miami.